Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And today we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount, an exciting part of Jesus' teaching. And we'll be looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 42, about how we should treat one another and the golden rule. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Okay, before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that your grace will be on today's sermon, today's Bible teaching, as we get deep into your word. Your word has been given by you to us, to guide us in all things, and your Holy Spirit interprets your word to us. We now ask that you will open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears that we may behold wonderful things out of your Bible in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's have a look at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 42, and I'm reading from the ESV, the English Standard Version. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly. Then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck that is out of your brother's eye. Okay, let's look at this. There's some big principles here, and they leap out at us. Firstly, it's all about the reward we get in heaven, not the reward we get here on earth. When we love our enemies, we're not getting a reward here on earth. We might get some reward out of the grace of God, but when we love our enemies, God observes our life. The angels observe, the heavenly watchers observe your life. They're looking at your life all the time. Oh, look at that. That person, the Pastor John or someone, you, whatever, he loved his enemies. He didn't overreact. He didn't curse them back. He didn't act in a silly manner. Look at that. Let's give him a reward when he gets to heaven. So the reward is in heaven. It's for later on. It's in the spiritual realms. It's also for your own spiritual growth. So if you obey these things, you grow spiritually, you get a spiritual reward, and you get a heavenly reward. Now, here and now, it's much more satisfying to take out your enemy, to be wild, to be angry. That seems to be the reward here and now. But that is childish. That is not a spiritual life. That's a carnal life. So here, God is telling us to take the spiritual high road instead of the carnal, fleshly, low road whenever we're in a conflict situation. And that's most of the time in this passage. They're talking about stressful situations and conflict situations, and where to take the spiritual high road in each of them. The next principle that's leaping out at us here is, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them, or do unto others as you would like others do unto you. So this is called the golden rule, and it's both Matthew and Luke and Mark and all the Gospels. We find the golden rule: do unto others as you would want others to do unto you. So you've got to think before you act or react. If you were in this person's shoes, would you like this action to be performed? So if you see someone who was thirsty, you put yourself in their shoes and say, what would I want if I was thirsty? Oh, I would like a drink. So give them a drink, because that's obviously what they need at that time. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, if you are in the same situation at the same time. So the other thing, there's principles like be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Why? For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And this is a big principle that runs throughout the whole Bible. God treats you as you treat others, and then some more so. Okay, I'll say the principle. God will treat you as you treat others, and some more so on top. So it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So if you're generous, God will be generous to you, and even more so. He will double the blessing. But if you're nasty to others, God's going to be nasty to you, and a little bit more so. We remember there, Matthew 18, the servant who owed 100 denarii, and the other servant who owed 10,000 talents, and the servant who was owed the 10,000 talents to the king, had to beg for forgiveness, and then he went out and he chokes the man who owes 100 denarii and throws him into prison, etc. And then here's this guy who was very rich, who owed a huge amount and had been forgiven, was then thrown into the torturers, because with the measure you use, in this case, nastiness, it will be measured back to you. So you've got to think about how you treat others. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, and so on. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, and so on and so forth. God treats us as we treat other people. And this applies to marriages as well. If husbands abuse their wives, God will not hear their prayers. So if a husband doesn't listen to his wife, then God will not hear the prayer of the husband. So God treats you as you treat other people. So go around being nice and kind and generous, and God will bless you. But if you're going to go around being mean and angry and nasty, then God won't bless you. So how you treat other people is of utmost heavenly importance. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. Be merciful, be kind. And remember that God is watching everything you do from the heavenly realms, and he's going to reward you for that. Okay, let's start with the actual verses now. And it's verse 27, he says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Now, this is contrary to human nature to do this. It's asking us to have a higher nature, a spiritual nature, that indicates whether or not we're truly born again. It's very hard to love our enemies. It's very hard to do good to those who hate us. It's very hard to bless those who curse. It's very hard to pray for those who abuse us. And you might have been in a situation in your family or your church where people are treating you very badly and you don't deserve it. You are being gossiped about. You are being backstabbed. People are saying nasty things about you. And you're getting increasingly upset. So here you've got the things that you've got to do. You've got to love them. You've got to pray for them. You've got to do good for them. You've got to bless them. And I remember a situation when I was on a mission field when someone was being very nasty to me, and nasty to me publicly as I was Bible teaching. It was another missionary who was very haughty and nasty. And I returned, I just was studying this kind of a passage. So I decided to return blessing for cursing. And after about 3 weeks, her attitude changed completely. So this is the the situation that we have is we've got to turn around. We've got to think spiritually. We've got to say, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to react? Now, there's some things that have changed over time. It says in verse 30, give to everyone who begs from you. Well, that doesn't mean I'm going to give to everyone who sends me an email on Facebook. These days, there's a lot of people out there asking for money, and they're asking for it on Facebook and emails and everything else. And I cannot possibly give to everyone who asks for me, because there's a dozen people every day from all over the world. We can't do that anymore. We still have to use discernment. But the general principle is there, is that we're to be generous to the needy. If someone's genuinely needy, we know them, they're in our circle, and they ask us for help, we should help. And from everyone who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. This doesn't mean you don't call the police if you've been burgled. You've got to use some practical common sense here. But what it means is we don't stomp around getting angry at people and suing people and getting mad if someone doesn't pay us back for a loan or things like that. Christians can get into a terrible bother if they've lost property or money to someone else, if someone has taken money from them, or maybe they've lent them something and they've never returned it. They've lent them an electric drill or a chainsaw or something, and it's expensive, and they've taken it off and they've never returned it to the original owner. And then the original owner, who's a Christian, gets very upset about it and becomes bitter in heart. God does not want you to become bitter in heart just because you've lost some possession to someone who's refused to return it to you. One who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. In other words, we're to be someone who is not anchored into our own possessions, not anchored by our ego into what we wear, what we have, what we are doing. And we're turning the other cheek. Now, this doesn't, let me go on a bit here. Turning the other cheek doesn't mean you stop any self-defense. If someone's going to take a panga or a machete and chop your arms and legs off, of course you can defend yourself. The rest of the Bible makes that quite clear. But this is turning the other cheek is about an insult, someone who slaps you, someone who's humiliating you publicly. It's not about the right to self-defense at all. It's about you making sure that you are not a reactive person. And let me explain what being a reactive person is. We have two choices in life. One is to come out of the flesh, when that's what we call the fight or flight reflex. Someone threatens us, someone hurts our ego, and we fight, flight, or flee. And we get angry, our adrenaline comes up, we get red in our face, we put our fists up, and we're ready to fight. And that's coming out of the fight or flight reaction, where we either fight or flee, or in some cases freeze. And our body is controlled by our hormones, by our flesh, by our reactions. And that's not where the Christian should be. Christians should be courageous, so they shouldn't be running away. On the other hand, we shouldn't be combative. We shouldn't be looking for a fight. We shouldn't be slinging insults around on social media. And I think Jesus would have a lot to say about social media if he was standing among Christians, how they react on Facebook or WhatsApp. It's really important to be a gracious Christian who turns the other cheek when people say nasty things about you on Facebook. Don't sling back. Don't hurl those insults back at people who criticize you on social media. So you're not to be reactive, you're to be masterful. Jesus was never into fighting. He wasn't into running away. He controlled situations through his own powerful spiritual authority. And as you walk more and more in Jesus' name, you should be able to control situations through your own mastery of them and through focusing on God and on Jesus and on heaven, not on your own reactions. Remember, the angels are watching. Remember, the heavenly watchers are watching. Remember, God is watching your reactions. Calm down. Don't get worked up over stuff. There's a situation at the moment that's tempting me and right here in Rhodesville in Virginia in the USA. There's a situation that's annoying me intensely. My mind tends to drift back to that situation all the time. I've got to discipline myself not to react to that provocative situation, because there are many. There's many in politics. There's things in your church. There's things in your family life. And you tend to go over and over those like a dog chewing an old bone. And we're not to do that. We're to put that to one side and trust the Lord to carry us through all these situations without getting agitated, without fretting. We're to turn our life situations over to God and turn the other cheek, be kind and be gracious. Okay, the next verse, 31. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. This is a golden rule. This is how we're to treat people. We're not to be selfish. We're not to say, it's all about me, 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 me. We're to look at the other person and say, oh, if I was in that situation, what would I want? Now, say you're driving to church and you see another church member and they're walking along and it's a hot day there in Africa or South America or whoever's hearing this. It's a hot and difficult day and you're driving along. What do you do? You stop and you say, yes, I'll hop into my car, hop on the back of my motorbike. I'll take you to church as well, because that's obviously what you would want if you were walking along that hot road trying to get to church at the same time. You're to be nice to these people. And you know that person's on their way to your church. So you're going to pick them up, you're going to put them in your car, and you're going to take them to church. And we see this in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The Levite and the priest walk by on the other side, and they just get on with their own business. But the Samaritan notices the man who's beaten up and says, what would I want? If I was in that situation, I'd want some help. So the Samaritan stops and renders assistance and takes the man to the inn and pays for his stay. He does the right thing. He obeys the golden rule. The golden rule is, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. So be on the lookout for people that you can help, that you can be kind to, that you can be compassionate to. Remember, Jesus' main driving force was compassion. He says 11 times in the gospel that Jesus looked on people with compassion. His heart was compassionate and kind. And if you're going to be like Jesus, you need to be compassionate and kind and carry out the golden rule. The next little section is a section of Jesus' logic. It says, you don't get any heavenly reward if you act just like the sinners. If you're just like all the sinners out there, pursuing money and selfishness and ego and all that kind of stuff, the people who are embedded in sin, thinking about their own social status, thinking about themselves, never caring to go out of their way, then that spiritual life, if you're just like them, then you have no spiritual life, you have no reward in heaven. Now, what's this reward in heaven business? First off, you get saved. Now, that's the main thing. You get saved, you believe in Jesus, you now have eternal life. Eternal life and eternal reward are connected. So when you have an eternal life, you need to have some reward for all those years you're going to be in eternity. You want to have a reward. You want to have a big house in eternity or something, or whatever they have in glory. You want a glorious eternity. Now that reward, that's going to be how you live in your eternal life. So you've got to work up some reward here so that when you go there, you have glory, you have honor, you have status in heaven. Well, status in heaven is way more important than status here on earth. But if you behave just like the sinners, if you just behave like everyone else, you won't have any reward. You'll go to heaven with nothing. You'll get there, but you won't have any eternal reward, any ability to enjoy heaven very much. Okay, let's look at Jesus' logic here in verse 32. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And that's observable, that if you're nice to a sinner, they will love you back. They'll be kind to you back. But it's a transactional relationship. If you're good, they're good. If you're bad, they're bad. It's like a marketplace, a social marketplace. It's transactional. It's not a spiritual relationship at all. Keeping going, verse 33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Obviously none. You haven't got any spiritual life, you're just acting like the world. For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? No credit at all, because sinners do that, it's what's expected. You're not stretching yourself spiritually. The angels will just say, just like everyone else, no reward there. Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great and you'll be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. A Christian has to believe that they're being observed by God. You have to believe that God is watching you and rewarding you in his heavenly books. Let me repeat that. You've got to believe that God is watching you and wanting to catch you to do things right. He's looking at every good and kind thing you do, and he's writing it in the heavenly books so that you will have a heavenly reward when you get to heaven. So you've got to keep on pressing on towards that reward. And that means doing things that the Gentiles and the sinners and the rest don't do. So you're to love your enemies because they don't do that. And when you love your enemies, when you're kind to them, when you lend expecting nothing in return, you're putting it on God. You're putting it on God to reward you later on. And God is honorable. God has a covenant with you. And God will reward you for the spiritual effort you put in and blessing those who curse you, lending to those who can't give back, and so on and so forth. Now, I do believe in lending only what you can afford to lend. I don't actually make loans to people anymore. I say, here's the money. It's a gift. Because I can never, ever get paid back. People don't pay back to pastors. Pastors, it's you give them the money and you never see it again. So I've learnt my lesson there. I don't expect the money to come back. I give it to them. If they pay it back, that's terrific. If they don't pay it back, I don't particularly care because I lost the money. I gave it to God. When you give to someone, you're giving to the Lord and he will return. So don't, especially if you're in ministry, don't expect anyone to ever pay you back for the loans that you lend. So God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, and we have to do the same. There are some people who are just nasty pieces of work. We can be kind, we can be gracious, but don't overly expose yourself to them. Don't give them information that they can use against you. Be kind. If their car's broken down, fix it. Do what you need to help them in life. But don't give them any personal information. Keep a little bit of a distance from them. But at the same time, be generous, kind, and caring towards them. And it's a fine balance there. Verse 36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And here we are, that God's looking, he's observing from heaven, and he's looking at how we measure up other people, how we evaluate them. Do we have a critical spirit within us? If we have a critical spirit, then God's going to have a critical spirit towards us. If we have a generous and kind spirit, then God will have a generous and kind spirit towards us. My wife, Minda, is a very generous and kind person, and she goes from blessing to blessing. Her life is very much blessed by God. She gets the right job at the right time and good pay and this and that and the other. And everything seems to go right for Minda because she is compassionate. She is kind. She's kind to people, she's kind to cats, she's kind to dogs. She's a very, very kind person. And she never thinks about asking back a loan or anything like that. My wife, Minda, has a very, very good heart. And so she's someone that blesses other people. So what are some of the things? Judge not and you will not be judged. If you are kind to other people, if you're not judging them and picking them, then God will not judge you. He will give mercy to you. Even if you make a mistake, God will be merciful to you because you're not judging other people. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. If you're constantly gossiping, then God will condemn you. But if you're kind to other people, if you don't condemn them, if you control your tongue, then God will not condemn you, and you'll be fine. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. This is very important. If you don't forgive, it's very clear in the Lord's Prayer that he's not going to hear your prayers. You have to forgive before your prayers can be forgiven. You can't be bitter and negative in heart. You have to get over that. And you have to say, I'm going to forgive this person no matter what. And then God will forgive you and your prayers will make it to heaven. And you will be blessed in many ways. Okay. Give and it will be given to you. Remember to give to your church and to the poor and to the needy. Giving is a big part of Christianity. It's a big part of the Christian life. You can't just hold all your money to yourself. There are some people out there who say, I have good doctrine. I don't need to give my money to anybody. I have all these right ideas about God and all the right philosophy, and I know this and I know that, so I don't have to be generous. You might have run across people like that. They're absorbed in what they know, what they think, what they understand, and having their life together, but they're very, very mean and tight with your money. And I remember taking a Bible study with some people who were very wealthy, and I had to drive 100 miles to take the Bible study for them. I get down there, and they give me nothing. Absolutely nothing. They were very wealthy, multi-millionaires. Didn't give me gas money, didn't give me anything. just come down, take it to the Bible study and drive all the way back. And I thought, these people have very stingy hearts, and I never did a Bible study with them again. It was just a one-off anyway. So some people feel privileged, rich, and they're just nasty people. They don't buy lunch for you. They don't do anything. So just ignore them. Don't be like them. Be a person who has a kind and generous and giving heart, and God will reward you. Remember, you're being observed by God. What's God going to do? He's going to reward you abundantly. He's going to bless you. And those people who are generous, who, and there are businessmen out there incredibly generous, and they say you can't outgive God, and they make money and they give to this and they give to that and they give to the local community, and guess what happens? They are blessed, and their business goes from strength to strength because they're generous towards other people and towards the Lord. Remember the rich man who had all his barns full of grain, and he wasn't generous towards God or to the poor people in the community. And it says, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. So you never know when God's going to ask you to go to heaven. You don't know how much time you've got. So be generous and kind now. Be generous and kind to people. And remember the principles that we've seen here. For the measure with which you use, it will be measured back to you. In other words, heavenly watchers are looking at how you judge other people, and they'll give you what you give out. Remember that God treats you as you treat other people, and then some. And then remember the golden rule. As you wish that others would do to you, do so to them, or do unto others as you would want other people to do to you. Remember, you've got to outgive the Gentiles. You've got to outgive the sinners. You've got to have a life that's better than their life. Why? Because God is watching from heaven. He, his angels, his heavenly watchers are looking at your conduct in life. And you're to live your life with the heavenly reward in mind. Not your bank account, not your social status, not what other people think of you, but what God thinks of you and what the angels think of you. That's important, because eternal life's a really long time, and you want to have a good heavenly reward, not just a great earthly reward. So think of what God might think of you. Look at these principles about blessing those who curse you and put them into action. Live a spiritual life and not a carnal life. Don't live from your own fight or flight reactions. Be masterful. Have self-control. Show the world that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. The world will know that you're a Christian if you demonstrate your love for other people. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.